at the top of the show here on Thursday. Back on Monday, our first guest became the first Republican to announce as a candidate for Michigan's U.S. Senate seat to be vacated next year by Democrat Carl Levin, saying that representing the state in the U.S. Senate would be the greatest honor. GOP National Committee woman Terry Lynn Land says she intends to officially become a candidate by the July 1st deadline. The Grand Rapids native served two terms as Michigan's Secretary of State, and in 2009 she explored a bid for governor, then ran alongside Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard as his lieutenant governor candidate. Terry Lynn Land, welcome to Current State.
Hey, great to be with you guys. Thanks for that kind introduction.
That's quite all right. You would be joining a notoriously unpopular group of people in Washington, according to the polls, and that's if you're successful. What makes you want to serve in the U.S. Senate?
Well, as you mentioned, I served as Secretary of State for two terms and in a local office as county clerk, and I've always been honored to serve in government. It's been a passion of mine, being able to bring government and efficiencies and customer service and practical common sense to government, and I always thought it'd be an honor to serve in the federal government. And as you mentioned, Senator Levin announced that he was not going to run for re-election, which opened it up, which I truly appreciate him doing that and giving folks a chance to take a look at it, make those decisions. You know, met with my family, talked with my supporters and said, you know, is this something that we can do? Can we be successful? Can we win? And we came to the conclusion that we could. And so we are putting together a strategy and campaign and policy team, and we'll be filing by July 1 in order that we can start raising the resources that are needed to run a campaign in Michigan. You know, I love this state. I grew up here. This is a relationship state, and the folks really want to see you, hear you, talk about your vision for Michigan and for our country. And in order to do that, you need to be out there in these wonderful Michigan summers. In order to do that. So we're going to start getting out there and talking to the folks.
Your state party chairman, Bobby Shostak, has said that he expects you'll have competition in the primary. Are you prepared to square off against Congressman Mike Rogers if he decides to run? You previously said he would make a good candidate.
Right. And we've talked. In fact, we talked as early as last week about this, and he knows my interest. We've known each other for a long time. I told him that I truly believed in my time frame that I needed to get out there and talk to the voters and needed to start now, and he understood that. He wished me well, and still he was working on his time frame. And everyone has to make their own decision when they run for office and if they're going to, and I realize that. I've had primaries in the past. I'm not against primaries. Obviously, it's nice not to have one, but I understand that, and it's important because this is a very important race, and it's a very important seat, and it's a very important time in our country. So we will be out there talking to voters. Now, as you know, the Democratic establishment has picked one candidate already, and that's fine, but it's important that we get out there and talk about our vision.
We've tried a number of times lately, unsuccessfully, to schedule Congressman Rogers for this program. I have to ask you, though, if he enters, you would stay in the race?
And I told him that, yes.
Okay.
I gave him, a few months. He'd asked for a few months to make a decision, and a few months turned into more months. And I'd said early on when Senator Levin had announced his retirement that I truly felt that you had to get in this race by the summer. And summer is upon us. And as time wore on and more people I talked to, and talked about the opportunities to serve our great state, I realized that I could bring a lot. And I think one of the things that I bring is my management experience. I'll tell you, between the IRS and the Attorney General's office and what's going on there, I mean, we need some accountability, some transparency, some oversight. As Secretary of State, we put all of our information online. We put our budget, we put our spending, our revenue. And if you have that transparency, I truly believe you can have successful government services. The bureaucracy has gotten so large and so huge that you really don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the kind of person that's a walking around management style. In fact, when I was county clerk, we do vital records. And what had happened was, is my customers were telling me it was hard to get any information from Lansing, from their vital records division, in a timely manner. So I literally called up a state representative. We got in the car, drove to Lansing, and went and met with the director and said, "What's going on?" Well, when we saw his operation, which was direly in need of some technology and upgrades, the legislator realized that they needed to upgrade this department to deliver services to the customers in the state of Michigan. So they did that. And then as Secretary of State, I actually used some of the resources from the Help America Vote Act to upgrade the systems for death records with community health so those could get online and be more useful and more efficiently used by the citizens of Michigan. So to me, that's something that needs to be done, and I think I bring that skill set.
Tell us more about where on the political spectrum you are. Do you consider yourself a Rick Snyder Republican? Do you think of yourself as a Tea Party Republican? What?
I consider myself a conservative and somebody who appreciates liberties and freedoms, and that's where I've always been. And those freedoms include being able to have access to services that are important to families out there. But number one in all of this is definitely jobs. I mean, the number one issue and what people talk to me about most when I'm out there is, and what's important to them, is being able to have a job, being able to have a stable economy, being able to provide for their families. That's the number one issue, no doubt. And government shouldn't be in the way of that. They should be helping that. And that's always been my philosophy. You know, I'm a very common sense, practical type of person, and I understand that, you know, there's different ways. Like families, we have different opinions, but we all want the same thing. So there's different ways to get there, and we need to listen. In fact, I think that's one of the attributes that you're going to need in the next U.S. Senator, is somebody who's going to listen and hear the folks out there and what their ideas are and how we can come together to create that economy, create those jobs, and to create a stable place for our families to grow.
You enjoy significant support in West Michigan, where you're from. What do you say to moderates, centrists, and even Democrats, part of that coalition that helped elect Rick Snyder? What do you have to say to those Michigan voters?
Well, the same thing. I mean, they want jobs, they want a stable economy, and they want to be able to provide their families, and they want a government that works. And they want transparency and accountability. As Secretary of State, I ran twice and was able to receive more votes than the governor received. And in order to do that, I had to get independent votes. In fact, Michigan is becoming more independent. More people consider themselves independents than actually Democrats or Republicans. So anyone who runs in Michigan has to appeal to the independent voter out there. And in order to do that, circling back here, it means you need to get out and talk to them. And that's why it's so critical that you get out this summer, talk to the voters, tell them where you are and your issues, and share your vision for Michigan and the country.
There is a great deal of discussion, much of it quite critical, on what the Republican Party stands for right now and how it needs to change. Most recently on Monday, a study from the College Republican National Committee tore into the party's views on social and economic issues and its messaging. RNC Chairman Reince Priebus had similar comments back in March. Do these issues need work? And if so, how much?
Well, as an RNC member, I'm brand new. I just got on last year. And one of the things that I've talked to the chairman about, Mr. Reince Priebus, Chairman Priebus, is about our communications and how we get our message across. And it can't be the way we've done it in the past. And I agree with that, is we have to get out there. As you know, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and the Internet, website at terrylinland.com. And putting that transparency and accountability out there, I think, is critical. And Governor Snyder has done that, too. He's put out his dashboards. And again, those are things that, you know, the young folks are used to getting information at their fingertips. I have a 24-year-old son and a 27-year-old daughter. And they literally have a question, they just pick up their phone and figure out the answer. And when they have government that blocks their answers, that's not good.
Well, what about the answers themselves, though? I mean, for example, the CRNC report says the GOP, quote, will face serious difficulties so long as the issue of gay marriage remains on the table, unquote. What's your position on same-sex marriage?
Well, my position is that marriage is between one man and one woman. Some folks have talked about that it's a states' rights position, and that's something that, is something to be discussed. But that is my position. But it also is that we have to understand that everybody should have the same rights to get a job, to be able to be respected in our community, to be able to, live a life that they can be productive and that they will not be discriminated against. So those are real issues that we need to talk about, and I think that's something that we haven't done. So, again, when I talked to Chairman Priebus about that, he understands that, and I think that's why the Growth and Opportunity Project, which they put out earlier this year, addresses some of those issues. And I have that on my website, so you can take a look at all that, too.
Do you support efforts at immigration reform?
Well, I'll tell you, as someone who's worked in government and did the enhanced driver's license here in Michigan, the Department of State, which is one of the oldest agencies in our country, which handles all of that, is very archaic. And there should it should be an easier situation to get through the system, and it isn't. Not that it should be easy to become a U.S. citizen, but this process should be simple. And it needs to be worked on in order to make that happen. And a lot of people get frustrated because they just don't know what to do or where to go. And unfortunately, that puts them in a situation that is not good. There's a reason they're called illegal. We do not want that, but we also want to encourage people to come here. My grandparents were immigrants. My grandfather came over from the Netherlands on my mom's side, also on my dad's side. So I'm a family of immigrants, too. I mean, I'm only third generation here, so it's very important that we have a system that works for folks that they can use and not be frustrated by.
Would you get behind an effort to repeal the Affordable Care Act?
Well, you know, a lot of these issues yet we're, still kind of looking at. I'm putting together my policy team and putting together my strategy team, and we want to take a look at some of these things. You know, we have a lot of issues that are out there that need to be addressed, and that's definitely something we will be doing.
That's been on the table a long time. No impulse, yes side of maybe, no side of maybe?
Well, one of the things I like to do is to talk to folks. And again, you bring up a good point about what's going on in the U.S. Senate right now, and I don't think people are talking to each other. I've always been, again, one that goes and talks to the legislature. When I was in Secretary of State, I had a Democrat governor, a Democrat legislature, you know, and we still were able to pass legislation. We passed consolidating elections. We passed, as I mentioned, the enhanced driver's license. In fact, Senator Levin and Senator Debbie Stabenow both were very supportive of that. So, you know, that's one of the things that I think we have to have in the U.S. Senate now, and in Congress for that matter, is we need to talk to folks, find out where they are in the issues, see if we can't come together on some of them, and be able to be successful for our citizens and our great country.
Can you identify any members of your team that will likely be a part of your team?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, I just talked to Congressman Rogers last week. We just made the final decision that we were going to go when he said he still was working on his timetable. So I haven't filed my campaign finance report. So as you know, you can't spend any money or take in any money until July 1. So we're putting that paperwork together. Once we have that all done, we'll definitely get that out to you.
Were you at Mackinac last week?
No, I was, again, I decided that it was more important to wait a little bit more for Congressman Rogers. I know he was there. He was on a panel, I understand, but he called me just before that, actually. That was when he called. And so at that point, I'd already committed to be up in Manistee at the Manistee County Republicans and was their dinner speaker there. So that was a commitment I'd had prior before that.
Well, thank you very much for making time for us, Terry Lynn Land, former Michigan Secretary of State and aspiring U.S. Senator from the state of Michigan for the Republicans. Terry Lynn Land, thank you.
Thank you. Hey, good talking to you. Thanks.